The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do we count the guy? Do we count DJ in the Saw?
Yes.
Who spent $10,000 in his divorce just to have his dog?
Yes. Isn't it cheaper to just get a new pet?
On my block, a lot of people walk their dogs, and I always see them walking along with their little poop bags. Which, to me, is just the lowest function of human life. If aliens are watching this through telescopes, they're going to think the dogs are the leaders.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I know that's terrible to think about it that way, but someone's got to ask the question, and I'll be the one to ask it.
$10,000 is still a lot of money, and I'm guessing if you're paying $10,000 in your divorce proceedings to have your pet, my guess is there's a lot of things that are being split up and divvied up that are rather expensive.
If you see two life forms, one of them's making a poop, the other one's carrying it for him, who would you assume is in charge?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make the plans. We sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it.
There are very few things that I think mostly everyone can agree on. I don't want to exist in absolutes, right? Always, never, everyone, no one. Because you can always find an exception to the rule. But for the most part, I think most people like fair. Do you like fair, Chew? Are you a fair guy? Fair is good.
The fair?
Not a fair guy. I'm out on the fair.
I love the
people.
Fair.
Well, because you like the people is watching.
Awesome.
You like
fair's the people better than watching. Summerfest.
No, it's not.
Walking around is.
What's the difference between a festival and a fair, though?
Ooh.
It's like Summerfest is a festival.
Yeah.
But it's people watching.
Food?
I think it's the food. I think like the fair, you're getting more. Not that obviously, I mean, we were a couple weeks ago, we were talking with our friend Justin McCoy from Cousin Subs. They've got a special sub that is going to be specifically at Summerfest.
Let's not do this.
We're not going to talk about food today?
No.
Too bad. We're already there. But at the fair, you know, and this is probably why Jen loves the fair, is because you get so much food on a stick.
I love
but
the fair.
But you were talking fair.
Fair. As in unfair and fair, not fair and festival, fair and Summerfest.
You're a fan of fair or not a fan of fair?
I think most people are a fan of fair. Are you a fan of fair?
Huge tit for tat.
Huge fan of fair.
Tit for tat isn't fair, though.
I think it is.
No, it's tit for tit.
No, it is. Tit for tat is fair.
I don't think you can say what you just said.
This is fair or unfair.
I looked it up.
Like, Angie gets on my ass all the time about...
There it is.
What?
Just...
You said you can say that. I want to fight with him today.
Do it.
I should we fight?
On the air?
I don't know.
Like physical violence?
Let's just see if it happens organically.
Okay.
I have a feeling it will.
No, I am a huge proponent. What am I looking for?
Proponent
for of fair.
Fair, yeah.
Yes.
Gabe, are you a fan of fair?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ashy?
Sure, why not?
Fair is fair, right?
Fair
most
fair
people
fair.
Like fair. Most people think that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. We've talked about that here on the old Jen, Gabe, and Chewy show. So why are so many people having an issue with this new fair catch rule? By definition, fair catch should be fair. It should be most people should like fair. Yeah. You should want the playing field to be level. You should want people to have an, I guess, even chance of something happening. But I got to tell you guys, almost... universally, and again, we don't exist in absolutes here on this program, but almost universally, people are out on this new fair catch rule that the NFL implemented earlier this week.
Which I don't get. Because back in the day, we would take the ball at the 25 every single time because our mindset is one first down and you're in go territory. That's how we thought of it. We're like, if we can just get one first down, be on the 38, okay. It opens up your playbook even more. Now you can let things go. And if you were looking at the average of starting position for most teams last year, I would say they're probably under the 25.
Yeah, because a lot of teams want to return it, want to give that shot at returning it, and you come up shy of the 25 instead of just taking that knee. But now you can just call for the fair catch. I can understand why the Packers wouldn't like it.
Yeah, because they just signed their guy.
They spent $6 million on on a return man, and suddenly, well, now the other team can just pop it straight up in the air, and you're probably just going to call for a fair catch.
There's just such a different mindset as to starting at the 18 to the 25, and
just
it's only 7 yards.
Being across that 20, you're saying?
Yes.
What do you think the starting field position for the NFL was in 2022?
23.
Yeah, I think it's probably comparable, right? Yeah. I don't know that it changes that much. Keyshawn Nixon, who did, as you said, Gabe, come out this week when asked about it and say he doesn't think it really applies to him because he had exactly zero fair catches last year. In 9 games and 35 kickoffs, 11 punts, not once did he call for a fair catch. So he's the type of guy who always wants to go out there and run the ball wherever he gets it on the field.
But I think teams are going to probably, it gives them another weapon to try to treat him differently. Instead of just trying to boot it out of the back of the end zone so he's got no chance at returning it, now they can try to pop it way up in the air and force him to call a fair catch. Because if he catches it at the 10, now, but all the defenders are kind of around it because you're able to pop it up. It just gives him another weapon.
Man, it throws your timing off, too.
The league, of course, Chu, is claiming player safety. They had some number out there. Maybe it was 13, maybe it was 14. They said that there were that many injuries / concussions that occurred when guys... And look, we have said at times that that is a very dangerous part of the game.
I hated it. Hated it.
Why?
Well, back in the day when you could have a wedge... There would be the four of us. I remember it plain as day. It was JT, Jeff Thomason, Yurko, me, and someone else. And there's always a wedge breaker, you know?
Just a guy who's
just
running
just
gone,
fast
and
as they
he
say,
can.
Blow up the wedge. You know,
he's
thank God
I was
on the end. So there, it was usually the two middle guys.
Okay. So who was in the middle? Was Yurko in the middle?
Yurko was in the
middle. So Yurko's what? 300+?
Plus? Yeah.
How big was the wedge breaker?
Linebacker, probably 245.
So somebody just 245 pounds running as fast as they can right at John Yurkovich to try to hit him as hard as he can to break up the wedge.
And all Nolan would yell is, stop taking an edge. Like, well, then you do it. How don't you take an edge when the guy's running at you full speed and just, all right, hit him straight up. Like, yeah, good luck. So their player safety, yes, I agree.
One
it
of
is,
the biggest moments of contact in the game. And as we have talked about at times, sometimes based on the timing, it's blind contact.
Yes.
Because you're looking up there for that ball, and all of a sudden, boom, buddy is on you. It can be hard to absorb the hit. So player safety obviously is a reason why they are doing this. Now there are questions and debates about whether or not the numbers that they put out there are accurate. Some coaches broke down the film and said they did not see as many collisions, concussions, injuries as they were quoting when they were touting the benefits of this new rule. But there are a lot of coaches out there who have been adamant that they do not like it. Take a listen to Dan Campbell, who we have come to love for his authenticity in the NFL. Take a listen to what he had to say about the new fair catch rule in the NFL.
Yeah, highly frustrating. It's very frustrating. But look, I don't make the rules. And so that's a new rule. Then we'll live by the new rule. We'll find a way to adjust, adapt, and still get what we want. You know, that's what you got to do. You know, I hate that we continue to take away from the game. That's what really worries me. You know, we continue to bleed this league. You know, if we're not careful, it won't replenish at one point. But listen, it's the rules, and we'll make do and we'll adjust.
Okay, so that is Dan Campbell reacting to the new fair catch rule that will be implemented on a trial basis for 1 year next year. Let's listen to Andy Reid, who also weighed in on the fair catch rule.
I don't know. We'll have to go through all that. My thing is, where does it stop, right? So you start taking pieces, and, you know, we'll see how this goes. But you don't want to take too many pieces away or you'd be playing flag football.
Taking pieces away from the game? Are we taking pieces away from the game of football?
Not here, I think. I mean, it's dangerous. I was just thinking back. I got a horrible concussion against the Jets at home on kickoff return. Once again, Wedge Buster just came and blew me up, and that's when I winged the wing. Remember I told you that story? So I'm out like a light. I'm out, but I'm still there. And we go down and score pretty quickly. And I go out onto the field. I mean, I'm out. I don't even know where I'm at. I don't even remember it. And I wing the wing. So I was one of the wings, and there was a wing on the other side. I was so out of it, I wing the wing, and they're like...
He's talking about on the extra points, field goal.
Yeah.
So you know you have the wing on the end.
Yeah.
You were supposed to be the wing on the left.
Yes.
But over on the right side, you decided to be the wing to
the
wing.
We had a flying wing.
What do they call it? Flying V in hockey.
Innovator of the game.
I mean, too many wings on that side. You're just going to be going around in a
circle. So they took me into the training room, and all I remember is Holmgren coming in at halftime, and I was finally coming out of it. And he just came in and said, "You okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm great." Yeah.
So they have gotten rid of the wedge. So, you know, there are certain blocking rules, obviously, on kickoff. That changed a number of years ago to kind of prevent some of the things you're talking about.
So have we figured out that you're actually pro this rule, Chew? You're actually pro?
I am. Because I've been on it, and it's better now because they can't get the running start. They all have to be lined up evenly, I believe.
Yeah, you can't overload one side.
But it is. You're talking guys that can fly, you know, running full speed for, 60 yards?
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous. I don't know why they wouldn't say I'll take the ball at the 25 every single time.
Because you have the opportunity to get closer. You can get to the 30. You can get to the 35, depending on. And again, I want a guy out there who believes that he's able to get into the end zone every single time.
Yeah.
Right. We have talked about how I know that this is why, Gabe, you were sort of not in on the whole Keyshawn Nixon experiment because you were like, it happens so infrequently.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There, it's very few. Devin Hester, right? Devin Hester comes to mind as one of the best returners the game has ever seen. But it does feel like we are slowly moving towards eliminating kickoffs altogether, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is a step in that direction.
Doesn't it feel like the league, and they don't want to tell us that, they don't want to say that, but we're just going to keep taking steps towards it until inevitably all of a sudden you're like, oh, we're here.
Yeah.
How did that happen? You know, well, you got us a step-by-step closer every single year. So let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who was also asked about this week, his thoughts on the new fair catch rule in the NFL.
That's a great question. I don't know. I think time will tell. I know it's been... you know, part of the college game, certainly always looking for ways to make our players more safe. And apparently the injury data suggests that this was a necessity. I don't really want to get into my personal thoughts on the rule, but, you know, we'll adjust.
Why?
Because he obviously doesn't like the rule.
Stay in the middle. He's all about fair. But I mean, I look at Tua, another injury on kickoff return. And you know me, I've been complaining about this league forever and how soft it's getting. This is not an area I think they need to continue with the kickoff, but I was against Tampa Bay. I got hit so hard, I literally thought I snapped my collarbone and my bone was coming out. That's what I thought. That's what it felt like. And they actually took me in for x-rays and had to cut my uniform off.
So what was it?
I separated my AC joint.
It's like your shoulder popped out?
Yeah. Yeah. But I was on the ground and I'm like, oh my God. It was the worst pain I've... And you broke your collarbone.
Yep.
The pain is like unbelievable.
Was it more painful when it popped out or when they put it back in?
I put it in myself.
Sure, yeah. Why not?
How do you do that? You just throw yourself against the wall?
No, I was on the ground.
Hey, Gilbert, come over here.
I was on the ground like this. I know it's hard to see for radio.
Yeah, WisconsinOnDemand.com.
But I my weight just pushed it back in, sure. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that hurt.
Here's what I think. I think that the league did this for offense. I think the league did this because now we're going to see more touchdowns. If people are starting, and again, like you were talking about, it's kind of a crapshoot whether you're going to start at the 20, whether you start at the 25, whether you got a guy who can put you in better field position, but... I feel like they were like, we like scoring. If we can guarantee that every drive starts at the 25, it's like I was saying to you guys with the overtime rules, right? It got to a point where if you have a hell of a field goal kicker, which everybody does at this point, you inevitably were going to score at the end of those drives because you were starting with such favorable field position. You only needed a few completions, a couple of first downs, and whoop, you're in field goal range.
But what happens here with this rule is, you know, you have kickoffs, right? Fair catch, kickoff, fair catch, kickoff, fair catch. Well, what happens is this kickoff unit is like, it's just going to be another fair catch. I'm going half speed. And then they pop one in the fourth quarter. That's the tough thing.
Yeah,
because you get so conditional, like, why am I running in-game sprints when they're just going to fair catch it? And I just remember back in our day, Nolan going, are you running full speed? Are you running full speed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's human nature to be like, ah, here we go again.
This, to me, was an easy way for the league to be like, oh, yeah, no, we do care about player safety. And that way, when they get accused of not caring about player safety, when the players bring up their field issue again,
they can point to that.
They can go, oh, look at what we just did. We did this for player safety.
Even though, again, I feel like it's the curtain behind, you know, it's the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. They really just want more scoring. They really just want to put teams.
I don't even know if it's that simple. I just think that they want to pretend to care about player safety, and this is an easy way to pretend to care about player safety.
Bigger numbers, though, and money and gambling and all of that type of stuff, there's a part of me that feels like if they can control that very first element of a drive, which is where you are starting the drive, and they can make it more beneficial. Remember, they moved it from the 20 to the 25.
Yeah.
That was all part of it as well, right? We're just creeping closer to starting at the 50-yard line. Start at the 50-yard line and try to, you know, chew up that much yardage, get in the end zone, and then we'll have games that are like 85. Well, 85 would be tough to do. What are some seven numbers?
Well, 84. You know, maybe somebody went for two. Okay. You were close.
Either way, we'll have 80-60 as the final score of
but
NFL
I agree
games.
With Gabe, because it's going to, you know, in 5 years, they're probably going to be playing on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
You know? Now we're going to play Sunday and turn around and play on Tuesday. Wild player safety. Kickoff return.
Look at the rule. I mean,
you
have to trust us because we did this. We have the data that says if you play on Tuesday after a Sunday, it's really not that bad.
No.
But, you know, trust us because we did the kickoff thing.
And they'll manipulate the injury numbers the opposite way, right?
Correct.
The last time it was 14 versus 8. Now it'll be 8 versus 14. Jason Wilde coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Oh, put.
All Packers, all the time.
You know, I am a play the high side of caution, as Mike McCarthy used to say, guy, but the guy's got to play. He needs the work in game. So it's an interesting dilemma that they're going to face come this summer.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you. And by the Bridgewater Modern Grill, nestled in the heart of Milwaukee's emerging Harbor District. Enjoy a specialty crafted menu centered around a custom oak-fed grill.
Always great to catch up with Jason Wilde, bringing us the latest from 1265. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good, Jennifer. How are you?
Better today than I was yesterday. Yesterday, I could not breathe. I think it's allergies, though. I was worried it was COVID. I was worried that I was kind of getting that swing of COVID, which, by the way, I never had COVID during the first whole 2020, 2021, 2022 wave, but I was worried that yesterday I had it. I tested, do not have COVID. I think it's just the pollen. Stupid pollen.
A lot of pollen.
A lot of pollen. Yeah, allergies are the worst.
Yes. The Wilde family's allergies have been really bad this year, so we feel your pain.
Well, I appreciate that, Jason. We got a lot of reaction rolling in on the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line as we discuss this fair catch situation, because you are seeing a lot of reaction coming out of guys in the league. What was the reaction out of the locker room this week? We saw the Keyshawn Nixon comments, and we saw the Matt LaFleur comments. Did anyone else have strong feelings about it either way?
We didn't get to talk to Rich Bisaccia since this rule has been put in place, but I know throughout the league, special teams coordinators were against it. It is a classic example, though, of we really hate this, but we're going to temper how much we hate it publicly because it's a player safety issue, and so we don't want to look insensitive by complaining about it. But, you know, as you mentioned, Keyshawn Nixon made it very clear he doesn't know what a fair catch is. And I don't think that it's necessarily something that teams are going to suddenly start using all the time. And I do think it's interesting that they've decided to institute it, but it'll be more interesting to see just how it's utilized and how frequently people take advantage of it.
Jason, who is the leader in the clubhouse for all Oneida? I mean, is there a Jacko Giacomoni have you seen this guy? He's unbelievable. Is there a guy out there?
Like David Martin used to be. He was like the classic guy that everybody got super excited about at tight end every offseason. And then we got to the season, and he'd occasionally make a play or two, but he was largely a non-factor. Mm-hmm. He was like the number two tight end behind Bubba Franks.
Quentin Rollins is another name that comes to mind.
Orlando McKay goes all the way back. Yeah. Is there anyone out there that's trending that way?
Well, so there's one guy that was the probably all Oneida MVP from the one practice we got to see. Because, again, remember, I've seen one off-season practice and, like, parts of the rookie minicamp. But the problem with this all-Oneida is that he's also the first-round pick. I mean, Lucas Van Ness was, dare I say, dominant. But he's playing with the twos, so he's going against, obviously, the number two offensive line, which is even a little bit lower because Bakhtiari wasn't at practice the day we were there. Jenkins wasn't at practice the day we were there. So I don't want to put a first-round pick on the all-Oneida team because, as we all have learned from Chewy unveiling this is like the all-Madden team, but like the opposite. It implies that you're kind of, I don't want to say a fraud, but you're really good in shorts and helmets on a practice field. And then when the game's start and the pads go on, you're a non-factor. So I don't think that's what Lucas Van Ness is, but he was the most impressive player I saw earlier this week. I mean, he was eating Caleb Jones's lunch, and he beat Yash a couple times too. Like, he looked really, really good. And, you know, I will point this out though. The last time I saw a first round pick be that impressive at that position in the first practice that I got to see was Daytone Jones. Daytone Jones was 2013. He played at UCLA, and his defensive coordinator was a Dom Capers disciple, and they ran kind of Dom's defense like light. And he came in and he knew everything he needed to do, and he was really, really good. And we obviously know that then when we look at his career, he was a disappointment as a first-round pick.
Jason, yesterday on the show, we played a clip from Dan Orlovsky where he said that the Packers roster really is talented, which made me think of when Brett Favre called the roster one of the most talented rosters, if not the most talented rosters he ever played with, back in 2006, 2007. Everyone just kind of laughed at him because the talent was so young, it was unrefined. And Brett ended up kind of being right because the core of that group was the core, outside of him, that won the Super Bowl in 2010. When you look at this roster, do you think it is talented but just is raw and unrefined?
Yeah, I think that that's super premature. You guys know how I feel about Dan and the idea that that was in conjunction with saying that Jordan Love is the quarterback under the most pressure in the entire league. I would say this. They've certainly made large capital investments, obviously, on offense and certainly on defense leading up to this year, right? The offense, the draft capital investments have been recent. On defense, they've been ongoing for the last, you know, however many years. But, you know, again, I think we have to be careful trying to figure out just how talented they might be. I want to see Luke Musgrave, who I think has all the measurables and everything you want in the tight end. I want to see him do something somewhere other than Ray Nitschke Field. And even there, I didn't see him do much earlier this week. So, you know, look, I know this is the time of year where folks like Dan have these kind of conversations. There's no way to know that. Just because we like somebody coming out of college as a draft pick, just because we see all the picks that they've used on defense historically and on offense recently, that doesn't necessarily translate to talent in the NFL. So I'm very curious how the young guys on offense will develop. Certainly they have drafted a lot of guys over there in the last two drafts at skill positions. But again, the other thing that's interesting, and Tausch and I were talking about this the other day, you know, we keep talking about the offensive line and how that's a real asset for Jordan Love. And yet we know who the left tackle and left guard is, and they basically opened it up for business at all three of the other spots. I mean, you know, do I think that there's going to be major changes? Like, do I think that Zach Tom is necessarily going to beat out Josh Myers at center, or that Zach Tom is going to beat out Yash after they gave him the second-round tender as a restricted free agent? Do I think they're going to move John Runyon out of the starting lineup? I don't think any of those things are going to happen, but the fact that those guys are not written in with Sharpie the way Bakhtiari and Jenkins are tells you that they're not that thrilled with what they've got. And I think one of the guys that's probably under a lot of pressure is Josh Myers. You know, I think we've kind of looked at him as, well, they invested a second-round pick in him. He drew comparisons to Corey Linsley. But his first year, he was hurt for a good chunk of it. And obviously last season, he was kind of just a guy. So it'll be interesting to see how this talent kind of rises to the top. But no, I'm not anywhere near ready to be able to say that about this team.
I saw a report that they were trying somebody else out at center. Who was that? The last year's
Sean Ryan.
Yep, I saw that earlier this week.
Yeah. So, but poor Sean, you know, I feel so bad for him. He's a third round pick by Goody.
You get the joke. Yeah. Hey, Jason, I was curious about wide receiver three, and this is the type of stuff you do. Is it fair to say that Christian Watson right now is considered wide receiver one and maybe Romeo Doubs is number two? And again, I feel like that stuff can shuffle. But who do you think has the best case of being wide receiver three? Is it as simple as what Chewy was talking about the other day, where you've got the X, the Y, and the Z, and you know whomever is your slot receiver ends up being that guy? Or do you think that it's more wide open than that?
No, I think it's wide open. You know, they were Jason Vrabel was talking about how much Samari Toure has improved over last year. He does have the advantage of a year in the system, so he has a better idea of what he's doing than, say, Jaden Reed as a second-round pick. I mean, you know, again, talking about all these investments that they've made, first of all, I still, if I have to pick one, I'm taking Doubs over Watson right now.
Ooh.
I just think he's more of a complete, and complete is a relative term because neither of them are anything close to being complete players yet. But I think he's a little further along in terms of being able to do more things. And Christian Watson had an unbelievable four-game stretch and the rest of his season. I mean, here's what's, and I think, Gabe, I think you were the one who said this, right? Like, comparatively, you know, we're all excited about him, but his season was not all that different than, like, MVS's rookie season, correct. Statistically.
That is correct.
So I think we have to be really careful about that. So that said, like, you know, the immediate reaction at wide receiver is they invested a second-round pick in Jaden Reed, so he's got to be the third guy, right? I mean, he's got the highest profile investment placed in him, but it's interesting because here's a guy who almost single-handedly beat the Badgers, by the way, threw a touchdown, caught the game-winning touchdown in overtime. But, you know, he's kind of a statury guy like Cobb, but Michigan State played him outside almost all the time. Like, if he's going to be their slot guy, it's largely going to be learning a new position for him. And I know he can... you know, they've been raving about how twitchy he is and how smart he is, and that's awesome. And maybe he's able to make that quick conversion, but again, as a cautionary tale, and they weren't put in the same positions that these guys were, but you look at all these guys that were high picks by the Packers in the past at that position under Ted, and you look at how they developed, they weren't put in the position where they had to play extensively, like Watson and Doubs were last year, and like some of these guys will be this year, and they eventually became really good. But it is a process, and maybe it's a little different process with a less experienced quarterback who is not quite as demanding. But again, I just, there's so many unknowns right now, and I've seen one practice that I just, for me anyway, I just feel it's kind of irresponsible for me to get too excited about anybody.
I had seen the stat coming into this conversation that Jaden Reed played 49% of his snaps from the slot and 51% from the boundary at Michigan State. It's pretty, even, right? 49 and 51.
Yeah, that's a pretty good split. When he talked to us, I'm basing this on the conversation. He literally said, "quote I played mostly outside."
And so he's right, 51%. He's right. I don't want to take anything away from the kid, Jason. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see also if any of those tight ends, like you mentioned, make the leap and are a path. And again, Aaron Jones. I think you could probably put Aaron Jones in there as now. It depends on how you're characterizing wide receiver three. Are we talking about the guy who's going to get the third most targets / catches, or are we talking about the guy who actually is lining up as wide receiver three on most offensive snaps?
Zebra is usually the guy who's the number one read, which I would not be surprised. Jason, would you agree with me? When they do run zebra package, I don't know what they call it now, but it's three receivers, one tight end, one back. I would put Dobbs at the zebra and then keep Reed outside and Watson outside, which is what they might do, right? Because Dobbs feels Dobbs feels like a slot guy, kind of like a Randall Cobb, like a young Randall Cobb. I don't know.
Maybe yeah, I think he can do. I think he can do everything. Look, I think we might be missing a bigger point here, which is I'm not sure how many three wide receiver sets they're going to run.
Ooh.
Like I think there's a chance.
Two tight end.
The first snap of 11-on-11, first of all, was A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones in the backfield together on the first snap of 11-on-11 earlier this week. And secondly, they have the two rookie tight ends. They've got Tyler Davis and they've got Josiah DeGuara. I think they're going to run the ball more this year than they did last year. So I think there's a good chance that it's going to be mostly 21 personnel with two tight ends, two wide receivers, and one back. Or they're going to try and get Jones and Dillon on the field more often together than they have in the past. And if that ends up being the case, you know, I think they're going to be limited in how much they're playing three wide receivers.
Which is weird because most teams' favorite package is the zebra package three. Huh, interesting.
Yeah, and look, when you look back to, say, Devontae Adams' rookie year, you know, Cobb and Jordy had enormous seasons, and yet as a rookie second-round pick, Devontae still played 70% of the snaps because they were in
zebra
three wides so much.
Yeah.
So again, we've seen one 11 on practice where we got to even see 11 on 11. We'll know more once training camp gets here. But it's, you know, the other thing that's interesting about Reed is that even Jason Vrabel, the wide receivers coach, didn't really want to pigeonhole him at anywhere. Like somebody asked him if he was a good fit at the slot position, and he kind of poo-pooed that. So, again, I don't know which direction they're going to go schematically. They still have to figure out exactly what's best to make their young quarterback successful. And, you know, in our conversation yesterday with two old-school Packers quarterbacks in Lynn Dickey and Don Majkowski, they both said the same thing. Like, I would be surprised if they don't run the ball a ton to take a lot of the pressure off of him. And I keep thinking back to what they keep saying about how they looked at the film from the 49ers on ways that they made Brock Purdy successful. And my problem with that continues to be that they don't have the same experienced personnel or the same defense that the 49ers have.
Jason, really good stuff. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can, of course, hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right here on ESPN Milwaukee. I like that. 21, 12, anybody? Thought you got rid of 12. Now you're going to see 12 personnel on the field for the Green Bay Packers. We've got Craig Karmazin coming up next.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
I'm like part of the overall home office team that was fortunate enough to be invited to the party. So I'm attending. I've already RSVP'd, so I will be there.
Fridays with Mo.
I've never been somewhere before that was usable.
For what it's worth,
Charlotte Airport, which has some great sleeping pods.
Is there a prophylactic rubber in there?
No, there is not.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We love our time with Craig Karmazin. Craig Karmazin, who I believe is going to the Taylor Swift concert this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Craig?
Creeper.
Yeah, do you... Actually, Jen, do you want to come?
Well, don't do this to me, Craig. Do not do this to me. Why? You have an extra ticket for New Jersey?
Yeah, you had asked about tickets, and at the time, I couldn't hook any up or whatever, and the, you know, we didn't have any connection, but I have seats if you want to come Saturday night.
Oh,
I have
my God! Tickets for you.
What
no,
if we want to go?
Do not put me in this position! Do not put me in a position where I will have to fly to New York to go see Taylor Swift because Craig has a ticket for me. Don't do this! Because I mean, I will go.
I think you should do it.
It's New Jersey. It's a suite.
You gotta go.
Oh my God, what are you doing?
Well, now the Jets say it's partially obstructed, but it's a suite and it's Taylor Swift.
And you'll be there, and Harper will be there.
And Aaron Rodgers will be in there also.
Aaron will not be in the Good Karma suite.
Wait. Do you want to hear that? Okay, so here's the story. So we reach out to the Jets. And I didn't want to ask the Jets for anything, but someone's like, no, the Jets said if you guys want Taylor Swift tickets, let them know. So I said, all right, I'll take four if we can get four, because I was planning to go for Sunday. So they call back and they say, we actually have four in the suite for you on Friday. But I was going to the Lakers game, you know, tonight.
Sure.
You know, Lakers Nuggets. So I told them I couldn't go and thank you so much and I'll just sign my own tickets, right? So then Lakers lose. Then Taylor on social media is kind of teasing that one of her two secret songs tonight is going to be Karma. So like Harper's like, Dad, how can we not go Friday when the secret song's going to be Karma? You know, so reach back out to the Jets. Hey, any chance you still have those four seats? We gave those to Aaron.
So you don't have a ticket?
So, no, he'd have no, for Saturday.
So you'd have to sit with Aaron?
No, he's there tonight.
So basically, Harper's point is like, it's actually cooler that it means we were ahead of Aaron on the list, you know, for tickets.
I love that.
Which I think it was more likely that Aaron asked them, you know, afterwards. But they then said, hey, we have a suite if you want an entire suite for Saturday night. And the suite was cheaper than I was planning to pay for, like, the four tickets because of how expensive these tickets are.
Well, that's the thing,
so
guys.
Now
their tickets
suite.
Are outrageous. The tickets are insane. We're talking, like, upwards of anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 to go to Chicago next weekend. So it would literally be cheaper for me to book a flight to New York, take an Uber to MetLife Stadium.
Well, no, you don't even have to do that. There's if you fly United, I mean, there's a Milwaukee to Newark flight. You don't even have to go. You go to Newark and then you pop right to Giants/Jets Stadium.
Oh my God. I can't with this. This is a very difficult decision because I really want to go and I think I need to take him up on this opportunity. But my family's going to be like, wait, you're doing what? You're going to New York. You're going to New Jersey to see Taylor Swift.
Sounds like a good time.
The only other odd thing about it, Jen, is it's the Saturday of a holiday weekend, so it kind of breaks up the whole weekend with the family, which is either good or bad, depending on how you feel about the family. But it's not like either Friday or Sunday. It's like right in the heart of the weekend, Saturday.
We're going to have to offline on this, Craig. I'm going to have to talk about this offline with you.
No, I think you got to make a decision now.
Why are we getting invited also?
Yeah, I was going to say, what about the three other schlumps that are sitting here?
You
what do we
come?
Get?
You can come.
You I'm said
I like
when
T-Swift.
Jen had mentioned Taylor Swift, the first word out of your mouth to Craig was creeper. Of course you're not getting an invite to Taylor Swift.
Well, he's going with Harper, so it's fine. You know, but Craig would go by yourself, right?
I would go by myself. Yeah, absolutely. It's so good. I went to their show. I went to the Reputation tour. It's so good.
I can barely think right now. I can barely formulate a sentence. I think we wanted to talk to him about the Bucks coaching search, didn't we?
I think you have to accept, Jen, and figure out
the first person. This is the first person I've offered tickets
to
the
concert
to who has not cried.
What time is it?
I'm crying inside, Craig. I'm crying inside.
Yeah, you were going to go to Minneapolis,
weren't you? I was going to go to Minneapolis. I was going to go to Detroit. I've been looking at Chicago tickets every single day.
Let's go to New Jersey tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm
putting this on them. I mean, you have to do this.
Yeah.
Again, you're family, whatever, but like, this is your own personal Mother's Day gift.
Ah.
Late.
Wait a minute. Mother's Day already happened.
Yeah, I know. I said late.
Okay. Okay.
Wait, so there's no one from your family who you'd even bring to this?
Wait, do I have to get two tickets or one? I just assumed it was one.
No, you could have two if you want.
Oh, you gotta go.
I gotta go.
Wait. If you give her an extra ticket, does she have to take somebody from her family?
No, I got a girlfriend who wants to go.
I'm just asking. I think that would have been a fun caveat is you have to choose one family member now. I think that would be a fun caveat.
Oh my God. No, we're going. We're going. We're going. We're going. Just, we're going to take the tickets.
Yeah, you got to go.
I don't know why that was such a hard decision.
Name this athlete. Name this athlete. This athlete had the biggest moment in sports last night. He shares the same birthday with me. He is within 10 years of my age, and he was a star athlete in the state of Wisconsin. Name this athlete.
Hold on. Give it to me. You said he's currently still playing or no?
Yep. Within 10 years of my age, shares the same birthday as me, star athlete from Wisconsin, and had the biggest moment in sports.
Ashley's got it. He's already got it. Ashley's got it.
No, I already told Ashton. That's not fair.
I was feeding you the answer.
Wait, what do you mean?
I was just feeding you the answer.
Oh, come on. Baseball? I thought you knew
I'm trying to do a No, I did know the answer anyways, but no, I was trying to do your solid.
The guy who scored the game last night.
Yeah, I knew it was hockey.
Who? Joe Pavelski.
I mean, I know we don't talk about hockey, but University of Wisconsin, Joe Pavelski, who's still playing at 38 years old,
wow.
Overtime playoff goal to go up 3-1 for the Stars last night, which is pretty cool for a Badger.
Who's the next head coach of the Bucks?
I don't know.
You don't know. Just tell us. I mean, I know. I just want to hear you say it.
Wait, you do?
Yeah.
Who?
Not telling you.
This goes back to what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
We were just talking about fairness, right? Yes. Jen, you started the show with fairness.
Fair catch.
He offers you unbelievable opportunity to go, which most people would probably cut off a pinky like Ronnie Lott. Right?
Good point. Really good point.
And we got nothing. He won't even give us who the next head coach is.
That's kind of lying. We should be hurt by this, right, Gabe? Too.
Yeah,
it will be the Celtics in the NBA Finals. I'll tell you that.
I agree. I was just talking to Gabe about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's never been a situation. So going into Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, it was a bizarre situation where the Miami Heat were up 3-0, and if they lost, you knew they would not be favored again in the series. And so they did lose, and now even Game 6 where they're at home, they're 2.5-point underdogs, and if you look at, like, the power indexes, they're actually, you know, Celtics are 71% favored to win the game. So it's a bizarre situation where the Heat may blow a 3-0 lead, and I don't think anyone could say they choked because I think the better team will have won the last 4 games if this happened.
You're wrong. It has happened before. And you should know that it has happened before.
Yes, it has.
He did not say that. He said it never happened before. The Red Sox down.
No, that didn't happen.
3 games, came back, won the next 4.
Never happened. Nope. Fake news.
Wow. Just in denial over there. But if the Heat do make a run to the finals, Craig, I feel like we're getting to a point in sports where we've got an issue with the regular season, and the regular season is just getting devalued more and more and more, not just in basketball, but in just about every sport outside of the NFL, which is still kind of trending in that direction the more they add playoff teams.
I think it's a big issue, and I think, like, especially, I think that's, like, why some of us have, like, when we see, like, the English Premier League and, you know, the actual champion is who wins the entire season, but then they still find a way to have, like, cool tournaments, you know, inside the season. I think that's why that is so attractive because, yeah, I mean, the postseason is ultimately all you're going to be graded on, and it seems more and more like all you need to do is get into the postseason and you have a chance to win, which, by the way, that's not totally new. Like, if you, like, I mean, 20-plus years ago, the Houston Rockets won back-to-back championships, if you remember. They had acquired Clyde Drexler midway through the year, and they were the 6th seed, and they won the NBA championship. So this isn't necessarily a new thing, but I get it that I think teams are more aware of it, and, you know, that leads to the load management and the regular season not feeling as important.
What sport does it matter the most?
What, the regular season?
Yeah.
Still the NFL.
I don't know.
I think Gabe is right.
I don't know, because home field is now nothing. Not nothing, but it's certainly been devalued.
Teams have gone on the road and won.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's almost
and the bye
baseball.
And Chewy, don't you feel like the bye doesn't mean as much as it used to? Like,
yeah,
a bunch of teams have come through playing that extra weekend.
Yeah, because the practices are so soft now. They're not, you know, they play games
so
and
is
then.
Is it college football?
Baseball. How many you come down to like the last game in a 162 game season?
But
you're like.
That's the problem, Chu. Like, you have no idea who played last night for the Brewers.
No, but it just kind of lulls you to sleep, baseball. But these games
I mean, whoever
really
said
do
it
matter.
Is right. I mean, it's college football.
Yeah, college football.
It has to be the regular season that matters the most.
Although it expand to 12 next year.
Yeah, I feel that goes down with the expansion
year?
Of 12.
Yeah, this is the last year of four.
Wow.
Well, so then all of a sudden it doesn't matter as much.
No, it does for like everyone except like the best three or four teams.
If you win your conference,
really
you're going
to
be in.
12.
If you win your conference, which means you can lose a couple games, even in your regular season, if you end up winning your conference, you're in the postseason.
Wait, so Jen, when you say win your conference, you're saying the conference play like title game or the regular season?
I'm saying whoever are the conference champs from each conference are going to be, it's almost like an automatic bid to the 12.
Let me ask you this, Jen. Does it devalue the regular season because Alabama doesn't need to play UCLA or Oregon or something? Just play your conference schedule,
yeah.
Lose a game, and you're in.
Yeah. And
so it's ultimately not
also,
really.
Also starting then, there's also going to be relegation where the lowest two teams in each conference are out of the Power Five and go into like. So, like, the Big Ten lowest two teams go into the MAC the next year, and, like, whoever wins the MAC gets to move up to the Big Ten. Are they going to have that? I mean, because that would be cool.
I mean, there have been times where, like, the ACC championship game has been, you know, because they won their respective divisions, and then it was like, well, these are not
Clemson
the best.
Clemson versus Pitt.
These are not the best teams. Wake Forest versus Pitt. You know, these are not the best teams in our league. But if the current structure, if the new structure had existed when that happened, you're getting one of those teams in the top 12. I think college football, it will devalue the regular season.
It's going to devalue it to, it's right now it's college football. After they go to 12, then I think it goes back to the NFL.
Okay.
And then it goes to live.
No, the problem with that, Craig, and you can hear us talk more about this on the team Monday nights, pretty much the only thing that matters now in golf are the major championships.
Yes.
Well, what about, I mean, I feel like the elevated tournaments are so much cooler now. Or are you
they
saying
are.
They don't matter because the live golfers aren't there?
Correct.
Like the Memorial, which is coming up, it's not even watchable anymore. Really isn't. And that used to be a great tournament.
Yeah.
But now you don't even know the leaderboard in the PGA.
Yeah,
you do, but I mean, don't. For the casual fan, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No,
if you
they
pay
don't.
Attention, that's because you're stuck on Ernie Els.
I love him.
Well, Chewy, did you watch the Netflix golf special? The golf show?
Yeah, it was good. Bad. Good one. Bad one.
No, it was good.
The full
good.
Swing. No, Ian Poulter was terrible. There were good ones. They were very good. I didn't realize how soft Bryce Brooks Koepka is.
I love Chewy's. Chewy plays his role so well. His xenophobia of hating the foreigner, and then like Brooks Koepka, who everybody loves because he showed his vulnerability in this day and age of mental health. Like Chewy's like, yeah, I can't believe how soft he is.
Xenophobia, is that a copy machine or what?
It's a Xerox phobia.
Is it? What is a xenophobia? I'm afraid
like
of Europeans?
Yeah, you don't like foreigners. Yes, correct.
I thought phobia is afraid of.
Yeah, that's what he just said. You're afraid of foreigners.
I am. I love foreigners. I love foreigners.
I was about to say, there's a difference between foreigner and foreigners.
Name a foreigner song.
Love.
Cold as ice.
Cold as ice.
Cold as ice.
Jukebox Hero.
That's another
is Jukebox Hero.
I'm not just creeping with the teeny boppers.
Would you go to Taylor Swift by yourself?
Yes.
You're a creeper.
I too would go to Taylor Swift by myself.
That's
Craig,
fine.
I'm going to text you after the show for all the details.
If you go to Taylor Swift, will you be dressing as a specific song or album, or will you just be going like as a normal human being?
I was hoping to dress up a little bit, right? A little like sequence bomber or something, you know, some lavender haze or some red. I don't know, something like that. But
Harper's telling me what I have to wear. She's dressing us as songs and albums and all that. So I have to follow whatever she tells me.
Can you please get a video of him dancing and send it to me? Please.
You know she will.
Craig, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks.
Might even see him sooner. He's Craig Karmazin. We appreciate him hanging out. Did he literally just offer me sweet tickets to Taylor Swift?
Yeah, yes.
Two
of them. Yeah.
You gotta go.
Yeah, gotta go. Yeah. Like, yeah. This is a no-brainer,
no.
Right?
You figure out the rest.
We are never, never, never getting back together.
That's pretty good.
Not bad, huh?
You know what? I could skip the concert after that.
Don't need to go.
Just as good.
She's not going to top that. Is your business looking for localized banking solutions? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years and for the last 14 here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help your business succeed. Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions and work from a foundation of strong community connections. Commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.